Let's turn to Mark chapter 3 with me. This has just been an amazing opportunity Jesus Christ has given us. You know, it's something I'll never forget, and who knows, I don't know if we'll ever have to do it again, but I'm just very thankful today. And I just felt like God put this area of the scripture on my heart because I believe it relates to all of us to one degree or another in life. Sometimes you might feel like that unknown or that unnamed individual. And really, life isn't about making a name for us. It's about making a name for Jesus Christ. What we're going to see, nevertheless, regardless of how you feel about yourself, it doesn't really matter. It's about how Jesus Christ sees you. So Mark chapter 3, we see Jesus, as he always did. It says that he entered again into the synagogue. Now, the synagogue was a local assembly of Jewish believers where they would meet together, they would worship, and they would hear the word of God. Very parallel to what a church is today. But this was all pre-Messiah, pre-cross, and now God has his church established. But now I want to look at something that no matter who you look to in life, that the example that we should try to emulate in our lives is Jesus Christ. And what I see with Jesus is how important it was to him, is the example that he set for us, that he attended local worship services. If it's important to him, it should be to us. We were designed to gather together. It's wonderful that we've been given this opportunity. A lot of people don't have this opportunity. So I feel extremely grateful to God that we just so happen to have a driving in our backyard, that we just so happen to have my brother Charlie, who got a vision from God. We just so happen to have Rick Stefanin, who was on board 100% from the get-go, so that we could do this. But we were designed to gather together with all eyes on him, to worship him, and to exercise faith in what he says and to receive his touch into our lives. I mean, that's part of the great reason that we gather together. What is church? You know, church, the Greek word is the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. We're the ones who have been called out to follow the Messiah Jesus Christ and his divine plan and purpose that he's orchestrated for you as an individual before the foundation of the world. So that's what the church is. But what should you expect in a church? Well, the Bible says that the church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's where we love one another and provoke one another into good works. It's gratefulness for the gospel and encouragement for us to share it. It's where we invest into one another what he has invested into us. It's a place where we can grow in faith. It's a place where we can anticipate promises, especially the great finish line as we end up in heaven. It's a place where truth holds us to accountable, and where the Acts church, where it all began, they held together with the word, prayers, communion, and fellowship. And it's a place for us to grow in our adoration of Jesus, to fight for people's souls that they might come to saving faith in Christ. And it's a place where we as God's people prepare for eternity. But I want to encourage you, when this is all over, I'm not encouraging you to find a church, because there's too many buildings with crosses on them that call themselves churches that aren't. I'm encouraging you to find a place that's Bible teaching, gospel preaching, faith encouraging, Christ seeking, and God glorifying church. Where you will be loved enough to be taught, to be served, to be loved, and enough to teach you accountability to this, the Word of God. We see here, so Jesus walks in. The other accounts tells us that he was teaching there. And it says there was a man which had a withered hand. The other account tells us it was his right hand. His right hand was withered. And in the Greek, it literally means he wasn't born that way, but there was an event in his life that changed his life. I think that we can all agree that life throws us pain. And we see here that this guy had a withered hand, and it literally means that his hand was dried up. But how many of us have experienced life-altering events that have dried us up? It might have dried up our hope, our love, our joy, our peace. It might have affected your personality, disappointment. But I want you to look at this individual. Look where you don't find him. You don't find him home having a pity party and blaming God. You find him at the place of worship, giving God the glory that he always had done, even when things were good in his life. Because far too often we have conditional worshipers that enter into church. I'm going to come, I'm going to praise God, I'm going to listen to what he has to say, I'm going to enjoy this as long as everything in my life is in line with what I want. But what about when things fall apart? What about when things dry up? It's going to reveal to you the character of who you truly are. And we find this guy, I'm worshiping God unconditionally, not by based on the conditions that my life is facing today. It says here, and look at, they watched him. So Jesus was under the microscope. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. One of the things that we're going to find out here is Jesus placed himself in the midst of a synagogue that was full of hypocritical, self-righteous, legalistic critics that cared more about keeping traditions that weren't even in line with the Bible than they did about the people that walked inside of their doors that were hurting. The church is a place for hurting people to come so that their needs can be met in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 says this, and he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. All of our life's struggles, all of our heart's injuries, they have the potential to change when we choose to respond to the Word of God. Luke's account tells us that he was told to rise up and to stand forth in the midst. And he arose and he stood forth. This is a personal work of faith in his life, but it isn't multiple choice. In your life as a Christian, it's going to be either or. Either you respond and you do and be blessed, or you don't and you forfeit God's work in your life. The Bible and the words of Jesus Christ, they're not multiple choice, and they're not suggestive. They're directive. And when you look at the heart of Almighty God, what he's trying to do is he's trying to direct us into the place of blessing for our life. And what we're going to find out when it's all said and done, the work that God did in his life, that he never could have got his life blessed if he was a hearer only. There's enough people hearing the Word of God. Jesus is looking for people who will do the Word of God. We got to ask ourselves today, truly, what do we do with the words of Almighty God? This wasn't to humiliate this individual for his struggle. This was going to honor him for his faith. And he said unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. I think there's a couple things that Jesus is saying here. He assigned evil when there's an opportunity to meet a need and we choose to opt out of meeting that need. John, who was here in the midst of this, would write to us in 1 John chapter 3 that if we have the ability to meet a need in Jesus' name and we don't do it, how dwelleth the love of God in us? The love of God is always directing us to meet people's needs. Primarily spiritual, eternal needs, but also physical and temporary needs. But this is what he also knew. He knew that this religious group of hypocrites was scheduling behind the scenes his assassination. Jesus Christ reads human hearts. He reads my heart. He reads your heart. And he reads these individual hearts. In the eyes of God, there is never a wrong day to do something good. Galatians 6 tells us that we're to do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And verse 5 says, and when he looked round about on them with anger, You mean Jesus got angry? You're darn right he got angry. Jesus got angry and he was grieved because the hardness of these individuals' hearts. What happened was their ministries became enterprises. No longer were they the embodiment of God's love and truth to meet the spiritual and physical needs of people. They were quenching the work of God. People were withering away under their hypocritical leadership. They were going through the spiritual motions, but they were void of any heart devotion. This was the God of the house, and he was not wanted in the house of God. This was Emmanuel standing right before their very presence, and their religion has hardened them to the reality of who he is. We've got to be careful today. The Bible, I believe the Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 3 that we are living in the Laodicea church age. We see Jesus Christ on the outside of that church. Activities going on the inside, but Jesus Christ on the outside knocking on that door and trying to get in. And no one was answering. Because they decided that we're going to do church our way. Church needs to be done His way. And it needs to honor Him to the best of our ability, through our weaknesses, through our personality shortcomings. It needs to honor Him in all our ways by lifting Him up and glorifying Him. A church should be encouraging its people to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thus loving one another. We should be encouraged to be holding to His truth and be trusting in the transforming work of the Holy Ghost in our lives. But He was grieved because these individuals were standing in the way. But look what Jesus says unto him. And Jesus said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. Something that he wasn't able to do in the past, that God enabled him to do in the sphere of exercising living faith. Stretch forth thine hand, Jesus says. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a day where counselors are jammed. From what I hear, you can't even get an appointment for weeks or maybe even months down the road because people's lives are messed up and they want help and they want answers. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is a wonderful counselor. And I'm here to tell you today that the cure to every question, every issue, every ailment that you have in your life is responding to what He is speaking forth through the Scriptures. It'll bring healing. It'll bring renewal. It'll bring restoration to your life. It will give you hope. It'll give you encouragement. It will give you vision for your life. And He won't charge you $200 an hour. I'm here to tell you about my wonderful counselor, that His truth works, period. Even His birth mother Mary said this, whatever He says to you, do it. And I want you to look at something here. Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand, and He stretched it out. He didn't limit God. He did not limit God. I want you to... Well, you can listen. You know, we don't have time to turn there. But here's an account where Jesus just wanted to bless Peter. And I mean, how many of us don't want to be full recipients of the blessings of Almighty God in our life? And I look at this individual, because this individual did not limit God. But so often for you and I, we do. We limit all that God wants to do in our life, all that God wants to accomplish in our life. And I think many times in my life, and I believe probably for many of you out there, we can exercise this limited faith like Peter does here in Luke chapter 5. Now, in verse 4 it says, "And when he left speaking, he said to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon, now remember, Simon was a fisherman, Jesus was a carpenter, okay? And the carpenter's telling the fisherman how and when to fish. And Simon answered, said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all night," parentheses, "while the fish are biting, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, what did you know? Back up a little bit here. This is what Jesus said. "And let down your nets for a draught," for a catch, plural. "Let down all your nets." That's what I want you to do, Peter. And Peter says this, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." He chose to limit himself by partially listening to the words of Christ. And they beckoned unto their partners. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. Without obedience, without faith, you will never experience the fullness of all the blessings that Jesus Christ has orchestrated for your life. This guy says, "I'm all in." And I think it's a challenge for us. The other day I was just kind of pondering some meditative thoughts with the Lord. And I wonder how many of us are purposing in our hearts to make sure that we are growing, not maintaining, but growing in our relationship of love and faith in Jesus Christ. God wants us all in because He wants to accomplish all that He's ordained for you and your family, for me and my family. And the only way that we're going to experience that is by responding to what He's speaking in totality. Hearing and doing, not just hearing only. The Bible tells us that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. It does not say trust with the Lord with some of your heart, with half of your heart, or even most of your heart. Look in your mirror and ask yourself today, am I all in? Because if the answer is no, I want you to know that you're missing out on some wonderful things that God has ordained for you. And it's time to get all in. Look what it says here. He says here, "Stretch it forth," and He stretched it out. See, we make the choice and God does the work. All we've got to do is choose. Alright, that's what you say to do, that's what I'm going to do, and you watch Him take it from there. So He stretched it out, and His hand was restored as whole as the other. He brought full restoration to Him. You know, this place on Thursday nights in the summer, and I hope they can do it this summer, they have cruise nights and they have super cruise nights. You know, my favorite, lots of old cars are like a late 60s Boss Mustang or a Shelby GT500 KR or GTO Judge. And, you know, I think about that. Those things were made, you know, probably 51 to 53 years ago roughly, but somebody took the time to restore it back to its original condition. And when I look at this here, I look at what God wants to do is He wants to bring restorations in people's lives where we withered. And I'm not talking, I mean, you think about that, You know, you could be thinking, yeah, man, I wish I'd go back to my late 20s or my early teens. No, no, no. God wants to take you way back farther than that. He wants to restore lives, to take us back to why we were created in the first purpose that we find in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that there would be a removing of the separation of division from sin in our lives and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, that we can walk and experience the presence of the living Creator, Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to restore us back to, what our original purpose was. That we would not live bound or dominated by the curse and the penalty, or the curse of the power and the penalty of sin in our lives. That's what God wants. Look at it. If you're that individual today and you've withered away, maybe Christ became something great in your life at one time, but something has happened and you haven't allowed your mind to be renewed, and you're no longer extracting truths from God's Word to keep you where you need to be with Him, to hold on to promises where you can have awesome hope and anticipation and encouragement. Maybe you've become negative, critical, cynical. And maybe you're even finding out that people are actually kind of distancing themselves from you. Maybe you're creating your own social distance in your life because things are withered up. Maybe there's an event that happened in your life and you know that you know, it's because of this event, like I'm not going in the right direction. You know, things are drying up, things are withering up. I'm finding myself becoming just a resentful, bitter person. Or I'm finding myself getting into some form of a bondage that I know I can be free from in Christ. But you're not doing it there anymore. God's asking you today to stretch that to Him. God's asking you today to give that to Him. God's asking you today to make a choice in your will, so the devil and the world and your fallen flesh no longer steals from you the purpose that you were created and the potential that you have inside of you to become a vessel of glory and to fulfill His awesome promises for your life. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? God's asking you right now. It could be an addiction in your life. It could be some form of unforgiveness that you're holding on to. Maybe it's in a life event that God's asking you to turn yourself from and to forget what's behind and start pressing on before your family suffers from it. Today's the day to quit making excuses when we've got the King of Glory who's willing to transform our lives at the touch of faith the moment that we choose in our will to give it to Him. That's what God has for us. God sets people free. That's what Christ came to do. And He wants to restore things back in your life so you can find yourself like Adam and Eve before Genesis chapter 3, before the fall, where you're just experiencing walking with Jesus, experiencing His presence, and no longer being dominated by these horrible heart attitudes or sin or the power of it. That's what God offers to you today. But what are you going to do with it? I can't take it from you. If I could, I would, but I can't because I'm just me and I'm weak. He's Almighty God. He's asking you today to give it to Him. Some of you are withered today because you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Yeah, your church attendance is impeccable. Your church involvement is amazing, but you've never surrendered your life to Him. You know about Him as far as a social teacher, but everything in your mind saying, God's nice, I'm nice, and I need to be nice. Nope, God's holy. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and the blood that He shed on His cross to make me born again of the Holy Spirit so that I can have a relationship with God and know that heaven's my home. And the only way you're going to be restored is by responding. It's time we start responding to Jesus. It's time we quit looking at our Bibles as optional. It's time we started examining ourselves. Verse 6 says, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against Him, how they might destroy Him. Does anybody think for a minute a miracle just took place in front of these guys' eyes and they were too blind to see it? Not even focused on the fact that this individual had a disability from years. There was a miracle. He just was made whole right in front of their very eyes. But I've come to this decision, being in the ministry for the last 16 or 17 years, that blind people choose to be blind. God is here to open up eyes. Only God can open eyes. They're absolutely, willingly, ignorant to the evidence right before them. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest evidences that proves the reality of Jesus Christ is his resurrection. All the people that he showed himself to, they sealed the validity of his resurrection by giving their lives for the truth of it. The Bible, another thing that causes us to not be ignorant of the evidence like these individuals were, is prophecy. You know, the Bible spoke about 2,000 years ago that that the world would move into a one-world system economically, politically, religiously, and there's even going to be a mark of the beast, and there's an evil man that's trying to create a mark that we all got to wear on our hands. How did they know that? You know how they knew it? Because the author of the Bible is outside of time, and he can see the end from the beginning. The Word of God is evidence of the reality of God. There's no other book like this. But look at this, verse 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples. Look, we're here today, and right now, at this time, the last Sunday, we're going to be here at least for a while. But when the opportunity is there, we can either seize the opportunity or miss the opportunity. Because those are opportunities to experience Christ. And eventually, Jesus will withdraw himself. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that you cannot afford to procrastinate with the most important decision that you will ever make in your life, because that decision is based upon where you will spend your eternity. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and Christ said that many are going to go the way of destruction and few are going to find eternal life. Is Jesus Christ truly your Lord and Savior? Because if not, today's the day to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will move on from the moment of our opportunity. And if you've been resisting him, if you've been holding back from him, if you've been procrastinating from him, this could be your last opportunity. And I want to give you that opportunity today. On your way out of here, we'll have Bibles, and we want to give you those Bibles, because I'm telling you what, right now, the wonderful counselor is telling this counselor to tell you that if you will respond to what's written in here, you're going to see the blessings of God in your life. I did not say a life of ease, but I'm saying a life of blessing. And it's where this Bible leaves you on the other side of this life that's the most important, face to face with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God forever. No pain, no tears, no sorrow, no sin, no unrighteousness, no evil. But I really don't know who's here today, and it doesn't matter what I know, God knows. But maybe you're here today because everything going on has gotten your attention. Maybe you're here today because the reality is you're churched but you're not saved, and those are two vitally contrasting things. And maybe God brought you here for this moment in time because he wants his son to step into your life, that you wouldn't have a dead religion, but a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, I'm going to pray. This isn't a magical prayer. We call it the sinner's prayer, but it's your opportunity to get right with God. And if you don't know if you're right with God, if there's any questions, this is something that you want to have great confidence in, because the Bible tells us these things are written that you might know you have eternal life. And I would not want to be on this earth at this time not knowing I had the confidence of eternal life. Church can't give you salvation. Church can't give you heaven. Only the head of the church, Jesus Christ, can. But I'm going to pray, and on your way out, if you want a Bible, please, we want to give you one. One of the greatest things that we can give, the wonderful Word of God. So if you don't know where you stand with Christ and you want to know today, say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I know that the curse of sin is on me, but I know you sent your Son to break the curse of sin over me. And today, at this moment, I am choosing to repent of my sins, put my trust and belief in Jesus and what he did on the cross, and ask you, by your grace, to step into my life, into my heart, and be my personal Lord and Savior. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I know you rose again the third day. And today I give you my life. Work in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look it. If that's any of you today, it's very important that you get into a Bible teaching, gospel preaching church. We can help you find one. If you're from a different area, you're welcome at our church. You're going to hear the Word of God just like you have here at these services. Please, we'd like to give you a Bible. But remember, next week, we're going to be having church at Old Paths Chapel. And we're going to have Facebook going. You can still watch our live services. But if you have any health concerns or anything otherwise, we will set up a situation in our gym where you can be comfortable. This has been great. Please, these guys have supported us greatly. I encourage you to support them. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.